Okay, we're just about ready to start our program today. Just do a brief audio check and then we're going to commence. We'll have our special guest as well. And we should get passed over to everybody as you're joining us. And we will just start momentarily. And again, we will post the call and number. We hope everybody will join us and offer your feedback and your thoughts on today's class. And once you hear the audio feed, you can just type into the chat window, audio okay, and that'll confirm for us that you're picking up the audio fine. And again, we will just start momentarily. Once you hear the audio, just type in audio okay at the bottom of your screen. That just confirms for us that everybody's picking up the audio feed. Okay, good to see Joanne in Virginia. Joanne in Virginia. Pinchas in Ontario. Steve Long Island. Alan in New York. Sabra. Steve in the UK. Good to see you. And Avner in Brazil is joining us today on our Talk Live. Good to see you, Avner, as well. I mean, we'll be posting the call and number shortly. And we hope everybody is having a good Passover. Unfortunately, the events that have transpired this week, they definitely put a sour spot on the holiday, to say the least, the continued bombings. And then the life that I feel, unfortunately, and is lost and could be averted if there were different moves to be made. Of course, it's not a simple area to address. And, there's no one answer that is going to be a guarantee. And when you talk about, you know, human life and when it's constantly occurring and it looks like Israel's hands are tied, when it seems to be United States is completely open to act as they do in Iraq, and Israel doesn't seem to have that freedom. It's something that we feel we have to try to, go analyze and to come to some sort of a new path that we walk on. To constantly go in the same route is too many years, too many lives. So again, we're just doing the audio check now. We will start just in a moment. And once you hear the audio, just type in audio okay at the bottom of your screen. My name is Rabbi Moshe Ben Chaim. I'll be hosting today's discussion, and we will invite your call and your opinions. What we really want to do is to hear your thoughts, not as a sounding off session, but in terms of we have ideas, if there's some thought that we have as to what Israel might be able to do. And to try, we just started a campaign this week, as many of you know, that you're on our email list, and you received our request to send letters to the government, the United States, and also to Israeli officials. And some people feel, well, what good does that really do? Well, when they see the numbers, and I've been monitoring it personally, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of emails with the same exact subject are being sent. And we can see it from here because we have the emails are being carbon copied to Masora. So we can see that hundreds, if not thousands, already have sent these emails. I mean, those people in the president's office are monitoring emails, although the president, the vice president may not. They are communicated when they see a large number of emails with the same identical subject. And the subject is 9 dead, 66 wounded. And they constantly see that email and they look at the message that we're sending out, a short message, but saying we can no longer keep our hands tied, that Israel has to be supported by the United States. In the same manner, the United States is going after the enemy, seeking out and destroying those who would kill innocents. Israel has to have that same right and that same ability and not be censured, not be restrained, which seems to be the constant policy. And we have to speak out to try to break loose of this this lethal pattern. So again, the topics today, which we'll now post, and we'll put the call number online. And the topic is, let's just put the call number on the screen so you can see it. Okay, we have a U.S. New York call number. Again, the topic is, and we'd like to hear response from you. Are we risking more lives, placing any hope in peace talks with a partner like the Arabs? And these individuals are constantly vowing to wipe Israel out. They continue to indoctrinate the Arab youth into martyrdom. And there are sustained suicide bombings. So what are Israel's options? Do we continue pullouts, talks? Is there an alternative? So we'll open the lines and ask you to call in and give us what your feedback is on this. And again, the number is at the bottom of your screen. And if you're picking up the audio okay, just type in audio okay one more time, although you may have typed it already. That'll just confirm again that you're getting a sustained audio feed. And again, we do welcome all of you. And the class, the number again is 516-569-8888. You can call in with your opinions and your thoughts on this topic. Again, is it smart to have any hope in a partner like the Arabs, and the concept of waiting for a response from them and talking to them, or pullouts, giving concessions? What's your opinion? I mean, when we think about it, it's a spiral that, too long, 4 years. 4 years of just of the current, over 4 years of the Intifada. And it just seems that the responses are just, our response is just that. They should be more than responses. Should we initiate and do exactly what the United States is doing in Iraq? How will this go over, with the public? Should we be concerned with the public? Is life that precious that we must just respond based on what our concerns are for our people in Israel, and to make sure that that is the top priority, and we have to not consider any more any type of support from others? Should we not look for the recognition of other groups of people who will come out and will say that we are doing the same thing as then? Is that will be? Are the repercussions? That's what's keeping our hands tied. Very, very important topics. Okay, we'll pause. We'll give you a chance to give a call in. Again, the number is on the screen, 516-569-8888. And you can call in with your thoughts. And again, if there are alternatives, what will these alternatives be? It's, I mean, the Israeli government, these are intelligent people. And, you know, to this point, there still has been a repeated pattern of the response. Okay, again, if there's any, and if the availability of the call number is not for you, you can type on screen. We will take the your comments on screen. You can type at the bottom of the screen as well and give us your feedback. What do you feel that the errors are being made? What can we do to actually better safeguard life? The coexistence of two people that one is out to destroy us. They're not even recognizing our existence. They're constantly indoctrinating children. I mean, this is going on for decades, and this has not stopped. So what will happen in the next 10 years? What will happen to all these children that are being indoctrinated right now? I mean, we must conclude, we have to be realistic. If they're being indoctrinated to a life of martyrdom when they're 5 right now, so in 10 years when they're 15, or in 15 years when they're 20, these will be the people that will constantly be killing more Jews. What must be our response now? How can we have some sort of a long-range plan in order to avert the loss of innocent lives, children? All right, Joanna in Virginia is suggesting that Israel should not give up any more land. She's typed in that the concession of land. Well, Joanna, why don't you tell us why exactly would not giving up land, how would that help? How would the fact that we don't give up any more land cause a cessation of the killings? Would this anger the Arabs? Is giving the land something which they'll be happy with for 2 seconds, and then they'll want more? Is that really addressing the issue? I mean, what is the thinking of Israel? Well, Joanne, we put that question back to you. Well, Duran is saying their intent is to destroy Israel. Well, we understand that. We see that their intent is clear. They do want to destroy Israel. What is Israel's thinking that they can give up land? What do they wish to accomplish? Is it that Israel perhaps feels that there is no solution and they just have to go through the actions and try to segregate themselves more and more by just giving land where the Arabs can be isolated? And as Ariel Sharon had implemented with the wall, to try to have some sort of a physical border to keep out those who would want to kill us. So is giving land a proper idea? I mean, again, human life is the most important. The land is not more important than human life. So we have to keep the priorities very clear. And again, we will have a guest speaker today. Rabbi Reuven Mann will be joining us in about 5 minutes. We will call him. At his home in Long Island, he's the rabbi of Rina Yisrael congregation in Plainview, Long Island, also the dean of Masoret Institute for Women, Advanced Studies for Women in Long Island, and the assistant dean of a 35-year-old yeshiva in Long Island, and has been invited on many occasions to speak not just to the Jewish audience, but at the Veterans Day Memorial Parade in Long Island on successive years. His words have been read in Congress, and is a very eloquent speaker, as well as offering us his insight into how we can frame this issue, how we can view all alternatives, and is Israel going down the correct path or not? And Joanna is responding again. She's saying that the more you give them, the more that they will want. Well, it's true. It's true. The more you give them, the more they will want. The question is, though, Joanna, is this going to curb the deaths of American and Jewish civilians in Israel? Is it going to put any type of a break on these suicide bombings that are taking place? Will giving land satisfy this? If so, how? And we welcome to Joseph in Canada, who just joined us, and Joe as well. And to all of you again, joining us for the session today. And again, the topic is whether or not we are risking more lives by placing any hope in peace talks with a partner like the Arabs. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. They're constantly vowing to wipe Israel off the map. And they have not stopped to indoctrinate their children into martyrdom. And we have to realize what's going to happen not just a year from now, but 15 years from now when these children grow up. The mentality, if you see the videos on TV of these 3-year-olds that are vowing the death of a Jew, and this is a good, this is the whole goal in life. And this is the people that we're attempting to get promises from, to talk to. And again, the suicide bombings that have not stopped. We had a little break, but we see that was just false hopes. So again, what is the alternative? Do we have complete segregation of Jews from Arabs in Israel itself? Is any more land, the concession of land, a smart idea, a wise move? Or do we finally say that there is no possibility of any peace with people like these? And something more severe, something more drastic is needed in order to save life. I mean, life has to be, nobody disagrees with that. Nobody disagrees that life is the objective here, to save Jewish life. Again, it's a very, very muddy waters. So you bring politics into the issue, and U.S. support, and a lot of what Israel relies on. And are our hands tied, or should we finally be completely autonomous and be, in the real sense, a sovereign nation that makes our rules? And what about Jewish law? What about Jewish philosophy? I mean, the land of Israel is something which we have claim to, but even the non-religious in Israel would state that it comes from God's promise to Abraham. So we have the rest of the book. There wasn't just that verse in Genesis, but we have the complete Torah, the entire system. We're celebrating now Passover, a holiday where God did miracles and punished the Egyptians and then ultimately destroyed them on the seventh day after they left at the Red Sea. And these are miracles that are recorded, that the entire world accepts it, not only Jews. So why is God not part of our equation? The fact that he promises that we'll live in peace and we'll have tranquility if we follow his system of the Torah. Why is that not part of the life? Okay, and we have two comments. Right now, JML writes as follows. Appeasement is viewed by Arabs as weakness and encourages them to continue those tactics, meaning murder, which led to the concessions in the first place. Land is not the only issue. I find it amazing that the government of Israel has, for the past 10 years, been providing funding for the PA via tax collections. We must not continue to fund their government. There must be a complete change in their educational system. They already have their own country, meaning Jordan. Okay? And Lila in Chicago writes as follows. And welcome to Claude and Heshi, who just logged on as well. Lila in Chicago writes as follows. Life has to be made harder for the Palestinians. It is already hard, but for them to change their attitudes, life has to be much harder. They already hate us and are vowing to kill us, so making their lives harder will not make that any worse. Well, Lila is saying that we have to make their lives harder. Well, you'll have to qualify that, Lila, exactly how that is going to help. At this point now, we're going to invite our guest, Rabbi Reuven Mann. So we're just going to get him on the line. So hold on, please, while we contact him, and then we bring him online to join us. Okay, so we now have Rabbi Mann on the phone. We just called the Rabbi Mann. Let me just give you an introduction to who Rabbi Mann is. Reuven Mann is the rabbi of Rina Yisrael in Plainview, Long Island. Additionally, Rabbi Mann has been the founder of Masoret Institute, Advanced Institute of Judaic Studies for Women in Inwood, Long Island for about 15 years. And for the past 30, 35 years has been the Menahel of Yeshiva B'nai Torah in Far Rockaway. And we're very, very honored and glad to have you here today, Rabbi Mann. We have a number of guests from all over the world, from Brazil, Israel, Canada, and they're joining us regarding the discussions that we're having on whether we are risking more lives by placing any hope in a partner of peace, such as the Arabs, who are continuing to vow to wipe out Israel. They have continued indoctrination of their children into martyrdom in their schools. And again, we see with Monday's bombing that this suicide bombings are sustained. So We're glad to have you. We're really honored that you're here, and we ask you to please comment and tell us your thoughts on what you feel the path that we're going on. Is it correct? Is there alternatives? Just what are your thoughts on it?
That's a very, very difficult situation, and I think the events of the past, say, 15 years or so since the process, the so-called Oslo peace process, have been a time of tremendous tragedy for Israel because they abandoned a approach of clear thinking and realism in favor of some type of a mystical belief. They projected these desires for recognition and acceptance of Israel. They projected it onto their so-called peace partners, and it created a tremendous disaster. Of course, the people that were involved in it were well-meaning, and to a certain extent we can understand. I mean, Israel has been fighting wars for its own survival since it was established in 1947. And it's difficult. These things happen, and people have a tremendous desire to find some kind of a solution, and they tend to be optimistic, and they tend to believe in what the other side is saying. So they made a mistake. But it's one thing to make a mistake, and in Judaism it's extremely important. It's built into the Torah. Our concept, we don't believe that any person is infallible. People make mistakes, and we understand that. But there has to be what we call tshuva, the ability to acknowledge that you made a mistake. And in this situation, I have not seen a sufficient awareness, a sufficient willingness among those elements that were pushing for this new type of a trusting relationship with the Arabs, that they have the capability to recognize that they made a serious mistake. And it just seems to me that the Arab side is implacable, that you have to recognize the very deep roots of the hatred. It's not a superficial thing. It's not based upon issues of land or territory, and the whole world has bought into that. For example, the most significant idea you hear throughout the West has also bought into this myth that Israel is an oppressor, occupied territories. I just wrote in response to a New York Times editorial where it refers to the West Bank as Israel's self-created problem, as though Israel created the problem itself. That's absurd. It's contrary to history, because the West Bank, the so-called West Bank of the Jordan, the territories which we refer to as Judea and Samaria, were under the control of Jordan. Jordan seized them illegally in 1947, and only two states in the world recognized Jordan's right to those territories. So they were occupied territories by Jordan. Yet there was no Arab movement designed to liberate those territories. Instead, the PLO was formed with the whole theme of liberating what they call Palestine, was to destroy Israel. And the Six-Day War, Jordan, Egypt, and Syria surrounded Israel, launched a war with the intention of destroying Israel. And in Israel made every effort to keep Jordan out of the war. In self-defense, as we know, Israel then captured these territories in a legitimate war of self-defense. So you can't say that the fact that Israel is in control of the West Bank is the cause of why the Arabs want to destroy Israel, when the program of destroying Israel began way before Israel had the West Bank, when the West Bank was under the control of the Arabs. So the whole issue is shrouded with all kinds of falsities and myths. We have to understand the root. The root is that the Arab world, the Muslim world, cannot tolerate the existence of a Jewish state, especially if it's aligned with the West, if it's democratic and secular. But that's not even the main issue. The main issue is that it's a Jewish state, and there's no willingness to live in peace side by side. And therefore, the Arabs merely are prepared to embrace certain tactics. That was the goal of Arafat, that they recognized they couldn't defeat Israel on the battlefield, so then they would get involved in negotiations and piecemeal, piece by piece, whatever they could win back, they would take, and they would establish their state on that land, which would then be the jump-off point for the next phase of the battle. I don't believe there's any difference between the Hamas. In a sense, Hamas is better because Hamas is honest and truthful, as opposed to the PA, the so-called Palestinian Authority, Al-Fatah. Al-Fatah, everybody was upset that they were defeated in the last election, as though they were the real peace party and Hamas is the terrorist party. It's completely absurd. There's no real difference between the two. In fact, Hamas today defended the bombing. At least they're honest. They support it. They believe that it's legitimate. Now, then the paper will show you that the Fatah condemned the bombing, but they didn't really condemn the bombing. All they said was that it's contrary to Palestinian interests. That's not a condemnation of terrorism, which means to say that they, too, have no moral issue with terrorism, but they're merely saying that from a tactical standpoint, it's not the most effective thing. If Jews have to be capable of recognizing, this is a painful truth throughout all of history, and it's very difficult for Jews to recognize that the world, pretty much, hates us, and it's rooted in very deep emotions, very deep religious phenomena, and in every generation, they've arisen to destroy us. We just read that in the Haggadah. In every generation, they've arisen to destroy us. So why should we think that it's any different now? Will there ever be a time when it's different? Yes, the Torah does speak about that, but that's when the Mashiach comes and the world is perfected, when there's a profound transformation that takes place in terms of the religious recognition of the world. But that hasn't taken place yet, and the Arab world, the Muslim world, basically, is steeped in a very primitive mentality. And the real danger, it's not just a matter of terrorism. Israel can deal with the terrorism, as we've seen under Sharon, but this particular incident was backed by Iran, and Iran is emerging as a tremendous threat, not just to the security of Israel, but to the security of the world. And as long as it's somewhat limited, it's a terrible tragedy to lose Jewish lives because of terrorism, to lose any lives because of terrorism. But I do think that on a local level, Israel has demonstrated that it can. If it gets tough, if it cracks down, if it invades those areas from which it's coming from, targeted assassinations, they can keep it under control. And that's what Israel must do to protect its citizens. That's its primary responsibility, to protect innocent lives. The real threat, however, is from an Arab nation, a Muslim fanatic nation, obtaining nuclear capability, with the capability of delivering a nuclear weapon, which, heaven forbid, could create tremendous damage. I don't even want to use the word that they use, the word annihilate, heaven forbid. And that's what the Iranian president promises to do. That's the threat that really the United States and the Western world, and Israel in particular, must be concerned about.
Well, didn't they actually, they recently had promised $50 million in support of the Arabs?
There's no doubt about it. The fact that the United States will cut off support, or Israel will cut off support, there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on Israel anyways.
Now, let me ask you, we have one guest who joins us today. Elizabeth from Connecticut is writing. She feels that any restraint on fighting them, and as she refers to it as a dainty war, which Israel, she says, is supporting right now, is accomplice to the murder of the Jewish people. Now, based on her comments and also what we see, Olmert supporting even further pullouts, what is your comments regarding Elizabeth, who mentioned that she feels this dainty war is something which is an accomplice to more Jewish deaths, and what would be your comment regarding additional pullouts, or your own thoughts on what maybe alternatives exist?
Well, I'm not really sure I fully understand what she means by a dainty war. That means to say that they're not conducting the war with sufficient force.
Yes.
Yeah, well, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, I think it's a big mistake. I think that any sign of weakness, aside from the fact that she's 100% correct, the primary responsibility of a Jewish government is to protect innocent Jewish life. That was the principle upon which the state was founded, in point of fact. The Zionists, those who supported the establishment of a state, and the religious, not just the religious segments, they said the moral justification is that we won't have a situation like we did during the Holocaust, when Jewish blood is cheap, and that the primary responsibility is to do everything to defend Jewish life. That's why the raid in Entebbe, in a number of years ago was such a brilliant expression of this. The fact that they flew to Uganda was one of the most daring military raids in history. It was in 1976, July 4th, 1976. And they demonstrated the point then that no matter where it happens, no matter where a Jew is oppressed, to the extent that the Israeli army has the capability of stepping in, they're going to step in and defend Jewish life. So that, I fully agree, war cannot be fought in a dainty way, and the United States has learned that lesson in Vietnam. It's learning that same lesson again in Iraq. If you're going to fight, you must fight to win. There's no question about that.
Right. And again, Hank from New York is just writing in, and he agrees that if someone continuously tells you that they will destroy you, how long should you wait to take an action to prevent the murder?
Again, the obligation of Israel, and this is the way it used to be. That's the way Israel was perceived. At one point in time, Israel was perceived as being extremely determined, and they weren't afflicted with this mentality that perhaps we're wrong, and that we have to listen to the other side, and that we have to make compromises. However, in recent years, we're seeing a tremendous tragedy. The mentality of appeasement, which afflicted the West, and which led to World War II. For many years before World War II, the Western nations were involved in denial. Appeasement means to deny reality, and to make all kinds of compromises, which only demonstrate your own weakness, and which strengthen the enemy, and ultimately lead to tremendous calamities, because you're going to have to wind up fighting anyways, but by that time you're going to be in a much worse situation. Israel today is afflicted with that same type of mentality, whether they admit it or not. This is not the same Israel of 1967 or of 1956, when it was very clear to them that the intentions of the other side were to absolutely destroy them, and any demonstration of weakness would only be counterproductive.
Right. In terms of moving forward, are there any alternatives that you feel exist? I know it's a very open-ended question, but you know, with such frustration, when we constantly see these bombings, even though we had some reprieve recently, but then we see that it was just a matter of time till the next bomb would go off and more people are killed. Is there any alternatives that we have? We're talking right now. You're mentioning that we have to not have our hands tied behind our back, but go in and actually show, you know, strong backbone. Besides that, Reverend Mann, do you have any other thoughts on
I think the immediate, in terms of the immediate situation, Israel was pretty effective under Sharon's policy of incursions, of security barriers, targeted assassinations, mm-hmm. to keep the enemy on the run. That seemed to reduce the percentage of bombings to a minimum. I don't think it's possible to eliminate it completely, but the situation, people felt a much greater increase in terms of security and tourism and so on and so forth. They've got to constantly be active, to not care at all about world opinion whatsoever. And whenever there is talk about any kind of negotiation, Israel's position ought to be that they will not negotiate with anyone until that other side, the Arab side, must demonstrate its sincerity by completely uprooting all forms of anti-Semitic propaganda, indoctrination in the schools and the media, which just continues the poison. As long as they're engaged in teaching the next generation and in saturating their media with anti-Semitic depictions, then we know for a fact that whatever they say about peace is phony, and we will not have nothing to do with them. The second thing Israel must do, and perhaps they're doing it already, and it seems to me that as I look towards the future, no one knows for sure, but I think that this is a historical turning point for America as well, and that America and Israel are going to get even much closer in the future. There's no choice, because America has no allies in Europe anymore. As we see even in the fighting, in the war against terrorism, the NATO nations, France, Germany, Spain, all of those nations that fought against the Soviet Union, all of them have abandoned the principle of self-defense. The only remaining ally is England, and I don't think that they will be with the United States for much longer, because in Europe you have this same mentality of appeasement is taking over. So the two nations which have the greatest interest in fighting against terrorism are the United States and Israel. And it's not going to, they can't afford to wait too long. Something must be done to prevent Iran from gaining the nuclear weapon. They're going to have to take action against Iran in terms of maintaining Israel's security in the medium run, so to speak.
I see. Well, we appreciate you joining us today, Rabbi Manigan. That was very.
But let me say one more word.
Yes, sure.
I just have to say, as a rabbi, and it's Pesach time.
Yes.
We spoke purely about practical and political. There's another thing that all Jews must do, and all Israelis must do, because it's a fundamental principle of Judaism, that, of course, we have to live in accordance with the natural order. We can't withdraw from the world and rely on miracles. So we must do everything in our power to act intelligently and not to deny reality and to defend ourselves. But ultimately, we're going to need divine assistance, and this problem is just too big for us. I don't think that with all the expertise in the world, little Israel is going to be able to defeat all of the Arabs and all the enemies who have arisen. We say in every generation they have arisen to destroy us. We say it in Haggadah, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, and God saves us from their hands. So Israel must return to becoming the people of Hashem, the people of Torah, the people that God liberated, and the people to whom the promise of the Bris Bein Habsarim, the covenant between the parts, that covenant which stood for our forefathers and throughout all of history will stand for us as well.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. We were discussing it before we came on, that the entire claim to Israel, even the non-religious Jews, do refer back to God's promise to Abraham of the land. Unfortunately, the rest of that Torah is not something which is observed as much as that verse. And I completely agree that we have to not deny all the miracles that took place in Egypt. Even the other religions accept our, as they refer to it, the Old Testament. They accept all the miracles and the 10 plagues and the ultimate dividing of the Red Sea, which we'll be celebrating tomorrow, the seventh day of Passover. And that type of proof of historical involvement from God on behalf of the Jews, because we were following his system, is something I think is sorely lacking. Unfortunately, it doesn't enter the thoughts of those who are or would be in power in Israel. And but as you say, Rabbi, that's something which the Jewish people have to do individually and collectively. And hopefully the Jews will start to realize that as a truth and look at that history as accurate, and not just something which is part of religious theology, but historical fact.
Yes.
So once again, I do appreciate your time. I know it's the day before the conclusion of Passover. So I just want to thank Rabbi Reuven Mann again for joining us today on Talk Live on Masorah to give us and share with us his thoughts and sentiments regarding Israel. And we'll wish you a very happy holiday, and we hope that you'll join us again.
Okay, thank you, and let me wish you a happy holiday, a good Yontif to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Okay, bye.
All right, that was Rabbi Reuven Mann joining us from Plainview, Long Island, giving us his thoughts on the situation. Again, we thank all of you, Joanna and Claude, those of you, Hank, who have been sharing your thoughts as well. And now the phones are open if you feel you'd like to call in or to use the chat as a means to communicate your thoughts. Feel free. We'd like to hear what's on your mind. What do you feel next step should be? What do you feel the current policies are? Are these in need of change, or this is all that we have to do? Is there something else that's missing that's not part of the agenda that can actually help to defend and save Jews from further suicide bombings and attacks? What more can there be done? It's something which, again, no clear solution. We don't have guarantees, but the moves that we can make, and we have to also keep in mind that the moves that we make should not be devoid of God's promises in the Torah, as Rabbi Mann had pointed out, and as we're celebrating on this very holiday, the salvation from the oppressors, from the Egyptians. This was something which God took us out very swiftly. The whole concept of the matzah that we have reminds us of the bread that we could not make into dough because it was too much of a rush leaping. Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead. What is your comment? What's your name?
This is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
I do think that Omar, if he really wants to show that he's loyal to Israel, which I don't think he is, I think he's a leftist, and I should show, I think he should show forth and not hit empty soccer fields and not beat up Jews and smash their heads open. And if he doesn't do that, he shouldn't be in power, because he's not doing any good for Israel. And the Muslims aren't stupid. They know, they see what's going on, and it's not a show of confidence when they hit empty soccer fields or hit one or two of these terrorists at a time. And then they go around and they allow these suicide, these homicide bombers into Israel, and you can't shoot at them directly. You have to ask them questions. They shoot at their toes or their heads first, and then the Israeli soldier or the Israelis get killed. There should be a policy to kill them on spot, and anyone suspected should get out of the country, and I'm not fooling around. Too many years this has been going on, for years and years, and too many,
right. Many
Jews have been killed because of this, and it's enough is enough.
Right.
And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth.
Okay.
Okay, that was Elizabeth calling and sharing her comments. And I believe the next call will be Henry Hamburg. And again, the number is on screen, 516-569-8888. You can call in. If you get a recording, just call right back. We have a number of calls coming in. So again, the number 516-569-8888. Yeah, if you have a comment. Okay, who's this on the line right now?
I'm Hank.
Hank, how are you, Hank?
But I'm well, thank you. I just don't understand. I'm not an old man, but I go back many, many years with this. And I can't understand how it is that we can just sit there and wait for the people to say, we're all going to be nicely, and it's all going to be okay. The people are out there saying they are going to kill us. They are going to kill us. What are we supposed to do? Say, no, you're not. I don't believe you. We'll just wait and see. I just don't know. At the same time, we do have to live in a world.
Right. You'll have to turn off the mic. We're getting some feedback.
Okay. All right, you do have to say that I'm going to kill you. You know, when it's... But at the same time, we have to live in the world. We are dependent on the United States for arms and supplies. And we need them. We do have to, keep up the relationship. The United States needs to know that we are, Israel is the only place they can go that they can really, really count on and will give their blood for the United States. But, I don't know.
Well, we agree with you. I mean, we definitely are in agreement that we have to do something. At the same time, we do need support. The question is, what should the next step be?
I don't know. I don't know. My father was Beitar, I grew up in that kind of an atmosphere. I grew up in the atmosphere of, in 1939, my father going to New York to German-American Bund, Wendorf Fritz Kuhn, and he and his guys going in there and taking their bats and beating them up. And the Irish cops stood around there and did nothing. I remember when I was 9, 10 years old.
Hank, how do you feel regarding Rebbe Mann's point that we must definitely have targeted assassinations and to have more of a backbone and be more proactive?
I don't know. We're in a ticklish situation. The only thing is that it's like being in a schoolyard. I mean, it may not seem like a terrific, analogy, but you're being in a schoolyard, and you get four kids that are around you, and they're going to beat the daylights out of you. What are you going
to
do?
Right. Well, you have to do. You have to use.
Either one or two things. Either you run, or you tap your four or five guys in your backs, and you go beat them.
Right.
It's not a matter of negotiation. Well, if I do this, you won't beat me. That's nonsense. The world says, the Arab world says, they are going to kill us. Period.
That's right.
So, okay.
All right, then.
I've answered it. That's okay. This is the first time I've come across your program.
Okay, well, this is all, it's a relatively new program, and it's all about hearing what your feelings are, and again, what we're trying to achieve over here, Hank, is to have a forum where we can not just vent, but also if we have some
something concrete,
plans,
yeah,
some sort of ideas, and we can share them, and we do the campaigns. We started that email campaign yesterday.
Yeah.
Where we are getting thousands of Jews responding right now over the past 24, 48 hours to send letters to the United States. And it's true, Bush does not look at the email box. He's not in front of a computer. However, monitors who do see thousands of emails with the same exact subject line that reads, quote, 9 dead, 66 wounded. When they see another email, 9 dead, 66 wounded, and 10,000 more, 9 dead, 66 wounded, they start taking note.
Oh, absolutely.
These people writing in from all over the world, and it's being copied to Olmert's office. And this is, we have to do what we can wherever we are. If we're in Israel, the United States, voice is something which we can use. And, you know, like I said, the pen is mightier than the sword. Well, the mouth is even stronger. But, Hank, we do enjoy, we appreciate you calling.
Have a good yontif.
And you too. Have a great, great holiday.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Hank calling in from New York. And again, the number is 516-569-8888. The lines are open for you to call in to share your thoughts. Again, it's true, we have a sense that we want to vent. And we see the bombs going off and more people being killed and 9 dead and 66 wounded. And again, we did launch our campaign yesterday to harness your numbers, your voices. And it's working. We are looking at the emails and they're just tallying up there. Now we want to welcome DKG from New York, who just logged on, and Lynn in Brooklyn, and Michael in Florida. And again, we had Rabbi Mann on earlier. And of course, this program is recorded. It will be available on the audio link of the Masara website shortly after the program has terminated. So this way you can hear it in its entirety and listen to Rabbi Mann, who joined us from Long Island, sharing his thoughts on the situation now in Israel, what we can do, the reality that we have to accept, and is there anything more we can do? And as he said, Sharon's plan of targeted assassinations definitely was able to decrease the amount of bombings and created some semblance of relevant quiet in the region. Elizabeth now is writing to us online. She writes as follows. Even it says in the Torah that if they go to kill you, you have to rise up and kill them first. This is true. We're a great nation, and God did many miracles for us during the Six-Day War, and the other war is even greater than Hanukkah, but we can't be passive. Full agreement, Elizabeth, we cannot be passive. We have to be intelligent, and we have to have an approach which is in compliance with the Torah. Unfortunately, authorities in Israel, governmental policy is devoid of the philosophy of Torah, even in the midst of a holiday, which was celebrated and that recalls the great unmatched plagues of Egypt and the splitting of the sea. Miracles that are unparalleled in history, and which not only the Jews retain in mass as true historical fact, not just theology, not just a belief system like other religions, but these events form the very fundamentals, the basis that God created the world, and therefore he is the one that could now suspend the laws and create plagues, and he can cause a river to become blood. And these are not fantasy tales. These are actual historical fact, and they are as true as Caesar's rule in Rome and Alexander the Great, all of his victories. These events that took place in our Torah are fact, and to such a point that the other religions actually incorporate them. The Christians and the Catholics, they retain our Torah as what they call the Old Testament. So these are truths. Now, God is not tired. He does not sleep. He's not ignorant of what's going on. And his words are that our keeping of the system of Torah is going to be the means by which we will gain his support. This is missing in Israel society. And this is something which, unfortunately, not enough Jews speak out about. And this should be. This is fact. God exists. The world is not something which created itself. There's a creator, and that creator is the governor of the world. Okay. Elizabeth is continuing writing. She writes, we must have a strong leader that loves Israel and the Jewish people, not a political correct leftist who cares about socialism and what the world thinks, but what is good for the Jewish people and Israel. Okay. All right, again, the number is on screen. If anybody has other comments to call in, it's 516-569-8888. And again, you could just confirm the if there's any problem with the audio feed. Again, that we are there's a webcast online on the internet. If you're picking up the audio fine, please just type in audio okay at the bottom of your screen. Intermittently, we ask all of you who are joining us just to give us feedback on the sound. Make sure that you are picking up the sound, and we'd like to monitor that throughout the program. And you can just type audio okay at the bottom of your screen just to confirm that you're still picking up the sound fine. And again, we do have the webcast, so you can type in your comments as well, as a number of you are doing. Okay, JML is writing as follows. For every Qassam, he's referring to the Qassam rockets, that land in Israel, there should be 10 rockets fired into Gaza City. For every suicide bomber who comes from Jenin, there needs to be an entire neighborhood of Jenin that is leveled. They will get the point quickly. Force is the only thing that makes an impression on them. Death is the only thing they understand. Okay. Well, those are hard words. The question is, are those words false or not? Well, I would tend to agree with the JML that force is something which they do recognize. And as Rabbi Mann had mentioned earlier, with the targeted assassinations and with the bulldozering of their living units, their homes, their buildings, their headquarters, it definitely something which made a difference. It did cause a certain amount. Again, they will retaliate, though. We have to realize that as well. All right, so type in your comments, and again, you can call in 516-569-8888. And again, we just ask you to type at the bottom of your screen, audio okay. That just confirms for us that you're picking up the audio feed fine. Okay. Man, listen, it's a sensitive topic. It's something that we're getting a little bit sore from, and that's the reason why we decided to have the program today, to have some sort of a feedback, to air ideas, what can be done, and to contact our leaders, the government, both the United States and Israel, let them know that this is something which the public is not just swallowing and allowing them to do. They are elected officials, and but our voice is something which, if we disapprove of their actions, it may be the only means by which we get them to comply with our views. They want to stay in power, or they have to do what the people feel. And if we can get enough voices out there, which we're doing with our email campaign, then hopefully we'll make some change. We did this years ago to get Arafat labeled as a terrorist. And eventually the United States government did label him as a terrorist. And we hope that our numbers, we had tens of thousands of people join that campaign. We hope that our numbers actually contributed to that new appellation that they gave to Arafat. And again, now we have to speak out. And we can't just act ourselves. We have to get others involved. And therefore, part of our program, our campaign yesterday, was that you not only yourselves send out the email, but that you tell others. You email that link to other people. So that that's quite important. And again, if none of you or some of you have not joined this campaign, you can go to our homepage after this program is over, and you'll see at the bottom of the homepage the email campaign. And the headline will say, 6 dead, 99 wounded. And is this something that we have to be involved in? Certainly, every single one of us. And we also have to tell others. Okay. All right, we'll be wrapping up the program in just about a few moments. If there's any of the comments, or if you want to call in again one last time, the number here, 516-569-8888. The show will be posted online in its entirety, again, with Rabbi Mann's comments, his thoughts, telling us some very nice and insightful words as to the whole origin of the anti-Semitism that we are seeing today just being expressed in yet another unfortunate form in the sustained suicide bombings. But it really does have its seeds much deeper and much earlier. And again, we do appreciate the feedback from all of you who have joined us today, from Abner in Brazil, Steve in London, Joanna, Sabra, Al in New York, Pinchas in Ontario had joined us, JML, thank you for your comments, Lila as well in Chicago had given us her thoughts, Nuppy, Joseph in Canada, Heshien, Claude, Bernie in D.C., Joseph in Canada also, Hank who called in just before, and Elizabeth as well who called in. and Michael in Florida, Daryl in New York, and Lynn in Brooklyn. We hope that you enjoy the format. It gives us a chance to discuss, share our thoughts. And we have one more last comment from Elizabeth, who writes as follows. The Arabs, meaning they, have no right to hurt the Jews. What is Olmert's problem? He has no right to take away Jews' livelihood and their dignity. What is the matter with the government? Why do they cower? Why do they use these false, immoral equivalents? And Joanna's writing, we need more programs like this. Thank you. Well, you're welcome, Joanna. I hope that you join us next time on this format, this program. And again, it's important that all of you do take part in this campaign. And as we conclude now, we'll ask you to go to the home page. You'll see a link on the top, right above the Masorah and the Israeli flag. You'll see a black link that says home. You'll click that. You'll go to our home page. And at the bottom of the home page, you will see the campaign to send letters to U.S. and Israeli officials, as well as to send emails to your friends to get them involved. And to keep this going, we have to keep the cycle of emails going out. So we'll wish everybody Chag Sameach, a happy Passover, and we should be mindful of God's promises, and we should spread the word. We should get people to realize that our history is not just theology or blind faith, as it is with other religions, but it's fact. So much so is our history 100% true fact that even other religions accept the Old Testament, as they call it, the miracles, the plagues in Egypt, the splitting of the sea. This did not reach the entire world as true unless those events took place and people witnessed it and they passed it on to their children. Miracles of that grandeur and with that amount of witnesses do not stem from fairy tales, but they stem from true historic fact. That means God is involved in the Jewish people, and we have to follow his words, which basically say that if we have an allegiance and a trust in God, and we have all based on the conviction of what took place in the past to Israel as they were leaving Egypt. If we have this conviction, then we can live with a very strong sense of bitachon, of what we call trust in God, that he will step in. And this should stem from our intelligence. And as Rabbi Mann had concluded, that has to be part of the equation, which unfortunately is not today. Israeli policy, even American policy is not based on God's involvement. However, this should be the primary consideration when we are making our decisions in Israel, certainly, the land that God gave us. With that, we'll wish you all a happy Passover, Chag Sameach, and to get others involved and join the campaign again as you conclude listening today, as we conclude the program here. You'll go to the homepage of Masorah. You'll click that black link on the top of the screen, and you'll join the email campaigns that we have. Okay, we wish everybody a happy Passover.